Our New Testament reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 1 through 3. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. And our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 30. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. As was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, "Doctor, cure yourself," and you will say, "Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum." And he said, "Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Please be seated.
When you think of the word stranger, what comes to mind? For many of us, the word stranger evokes a feeling of fear, you know, stranger danger. We think of words like other, outsider, foreign, or just someone that is plain strange. And when we say strange, we mean like the Sesame Street song, "One of these things just don't belong here." The person that just doesn't seem to fit in, the person that just does things a little differently, or the person that just doesn't fit into what the majority of people are doing. If you've ever been that person that didn't quite fit in, raise your hand. If you've ever felt like a stranger, raise your hand. I think that's most all hands. I have been this many times, and I still am. As a kid, I was the new kid a lot because I moved around because my mom and my dad were in the Air Force. I was the Hermione Granger, the kid that raised her hand just a little too often. This did not make me cool in West Philly. I was the kid that stayed in during recess to help the teacher grade papers. I was the kid that would much rather hang with adults than my own peers. And for fun as a kid, I liked doing special projects and putting on plays in my class. I was a strange kid. And as I grew up, I went from being strange to also feeling as an outsider, because in the schools that I went to, I was usually either one or one of a few Black kids in the school. So what does it mean to be the outsider? Every group has a set of norms, rules of engagement, language, dress codes, traditions, and ways of doing things that only the inside group know. So it's not hard to pick out who the outsider is, because they don't know these rules. They don't behave like the inside group would. We often would much rather align ourselves with the cool kids or the cool groups and organizations and follow trends and assimilate. We'd much rather be considered the chosen than the stranger. It sometimes even makes us uncomfortable to think of Jesus as anything other than royalty. We would rather think of Jesus as the cool one that everyone was flocking to with his really nice princely robe. But for all of us that were considered strange or outsider, there's encouragement here, because Jesus was the strangest of the stranger. Jesus didn't get invited to the cool kids' table. He was rejected. And his friends were what many considered to be outsiders or misfits. And so Jesus was the misfit of misfits. He did not follow the rules, the norms, or the behaviors of all of the leaders. He redefined what it meant to be a powerful king that was humble and meek. He was most often the rejected stranger, and it's important to understand that, because Christianity really is not particularly cool. It's actually quite strange. Firstly, our math doesn't seem to add up. How can God be 3 and 1? I mean, we get it, but don't ask too many questions. When we were baptized, we die of our old selves and rise and are raised into our new selves. That sounds a little strange. And on the first Sunday of the month, we are really excited to take communion, where the elements are the body and blood of Christ. That sounds a little strange. And then we follow Jesus, who's the Son of God, who walked among us, who lived, who died, and rose on the third day. And let's not forget about the virgin birth. Sounds a little strange. And that's not it to the strangeness of Jesus. See, God came down from glory to live, walk, and love among us, to be Emmanuel. And just right there makes him a stranger, because he wasn't from here. He definitely was a stranger, and everything about him was strange. He acted as a stranger even as a kid, and he scared the you-know-what out of his parents when they couldn't find him in the caravan and had to travel back 3 days to find him in his father's house. It's hard for us to wake up our kids on Sunday morning, and what, we are a few miles away? But Jesus decides that that is just where he needs to be, teaching the adult leaders. So he was a strange kid. And then as an adult, he hung with tax collectors, sinners, and touched people that people considered to be unclean. He welcomed children who were not welcome anywhere else in society. He spoke to women at wells and welcomed women as true disciples. He spoke in parables that sound often like riddles. And in those parables, a lot of times, people who were the least likely or the stranger became heroes of those stories. He proclaimed a kingdom not of this world, but the kingdom of God that welcomed not the elite, the privileged, or the powerful, but to the poor. This proclamation invited all to the table of love and grace, and especially those who people thought were undeserving of a seat. And our Luke passage tells of Jesus being rejected by the scholars and dignitaries of the church. See, he was cool at first, but then it shifted, and Jesus was not so welcome. Jesus challenged the status quo in discussing how God was changing the power dynamics through him, that all are welcome. And he was making them a little uncomfortable. See, he didn't get the rules. He didn't get the language or the norms that the church had set up. And so they ran him out. See, oftentimes we, the church, believe in theory that strangers are to be welcome, but the welcome has contingencies. Please come, we say. We say, you're welcome here, and we mean it, but there's a catch. Most often when we welcome, we mean others are welcome as long as you quickly learn the rules of engagement, the dress codes, the languages, the norms, the codes, and the traditions quickly. We may have a little grace for you, for a little bit, let you settle in. You see what we do, so you better get it quickly. And so you need to learn quickly what it means how we worship, how we pray, how we praise, how we serve. And don't let me come up in here in the wrong sports jersey. If I had come up in here in my Cowboys jersey, I think it would have been a problem. And so if you can't get it together, eventually it's going to be trouble. But oftentimes there is another way that we respond as the church. See, we understand hospitality and welcome as being friendly. A book that I read, thank you, Pastor Mandy, called The Art of Hospitality, and it discusses how the church believes that what hospitality means is to simply be friendly. We've gotten accustomed to the ways that we do things, and so we can't imagine doing them any differently. And we're familiar with our community and our space. And we're so familiar that we often have blinders to the barriers that prevent guests from truly being connected. Biblical hospitality removes barriers. After all, isn't that what the stranger of Nazareth did? Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus removes barriers, barriers of oppression, barriers of hatred, barriers due to isms that prevent people from being completely community. Our Luke passage is saying this morning that all are welcome, all those that had been outsiders, the poor, the oppressed, the blind, the prisoners, the strange, and all those who were thought to be outsiders are given full access to love and freedom. We are welcome to the table of grace without contingencies. There's no cover charge. You don't need to know the language, know the traditions, know the norms or anything. You don't have to get yourself all cleaned up to be here. You don't have to know the dress code. You need only want to follow Jesus. Need only to want to see Jesus and to know and to trust that Jesus sees you. The good news means that it's not just for some, but for all. And the list presented represents that those have been excluded. Jesus says, you're welcome here. So how do we welcome? Biblical hospitality is actually quite simple. It just means noticing. The Art of Hospitality book says the most fundamental expression of love is attention. It's simply seeing and noticing. Hospitality arises from a deep, relentless love. Because of the love that we receive through Christ, We can't help ourselves and must share his love with others, including strangers. Churches that practice biblical hospitality notice. We notice the stranger. We notice the person in need. We notice when something needs attention. Our ministry simply means that we open our eyes to Jesus. This noticing may mean that we have to give things up. It may mean that we might have to be a bit uncomfortable. It may mean that we have to slow down. It may mean that we have to shake things up. Pastor Herock had talked about how he loves to travel, and I do too. And he says that how when you travel, you come alive. And I have found that too. And my two favorite experiences, one was on a mission trip to Puerto Rico, and another one was on vacation to Barcelona. And I came to both places as an outsider. I did not speak the language. Well, not well. I tried to remember all that I had learned in high school Spanish and what I learned in intermediate Spanish and undergrad, which we won't count how many years ago that was. But I know that I sounded awful. I did not know where I was going. I couldn't read the street signs. And even my GPS failed me in Puerto Rico. I ended up on a cliff. But you know what? At both places, I never felt more welcome. They took the time to see me. They noticed me. They took my broken Spanish and communicated with me. They didn't treat me as an inconvenience, but as though it was their joy to build relationship with me, as though they were entertaining an angel unaware. I'm not calling myself an angel. But I'm simply talking about the level of hospitality that I received. Simply being noticed, I felt seen and loved. It was the manifestation of the gospel. The simplest way of understanding the gospel is simply, I see you. God is Elroy. God sees us. I think welcoming the stranger is a part of the message. But to really understand welcoming the stranger, we have to understand that we are to be strangers. God chose to us to come as stranger, welcome the stranger as strangers. And so we as Christians who are called to be little Jesuses, we are called to be strangers that do strange things like Jesus. Strange things like pray and love those who persecute us. Strange things like loving not just those that look, think, and act like us, but loving everyone. Strange things like speaking and fighting for the oppressed, the marginalized, and the least, and breaking down barriers. Strange things like leaving the 99 to go after the one that is in need. Strange things like forgiving others, even when they have not made amends. Strange things like getting here a little bit earlier and staying a little bit after to talk to someone that you don't know. Strange things like giving up your favorite seat to give the best seat to the stranger who is not yet here. Strange things like looking around your seat and making sure the people who are around you feel seen and noticed and welcome. Strange things like when the world is saying, go, 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 and we can be preoccupied by busyness, that we slow down to see one another, to love one another. Strange things like welcoming the stranger, not as an insider, but as a stranger. To truly understand the power of the gospel, you need to understand what it means to truly be stranger. And so I want you to do an exercise with me, and so we're going to piggyback on Sesame Street. And so we're going to put our imagination, as Elmo would say, imagination. And if you need to be able to go through your imagination by closing your eyes, so be it. You can take this time to close your eyes. If not, I want you to use your mind's eye. And I want you to imagine your family. And your beautiful family sits down at the dinner table. And you've worked hard all week, and yet there's not enough to feed you and your family. And you decide that you will go without so that your children or someone in your family can eat. And so you go to bed hungry and wake up the same. And so you wake up with a deep grumbling in your stomach that begins to cause an ache. And now imagine you work hard, but because of your gender, your age, your race, your economic status, your class, or your access to quality education, you're not paid the same as others. And so what you make is just simply not enough. And now imagine that you've made mistakes in your youth and that led you to prison. And you're trying hard to find someone that will give you a chance to not see your record, but to see you. And it's rare that you get invited to an interview, but when the phone rings, you're excited, but also fearful. Excited for the opportunity, but afraid that you'll be rejected because of your past. Perhaps you were born with differing abilities that make it more challenging to get access to a front door, to upper levels, to read signs, to be able to take in all of the sights and sounds that are around you. Or perhaps you have difficulty seeing, and it takes more effort to do what others take for granted. And you come to work and are not given the access you need. Or you come to worship spaces and it's hard for you to get the access that you need. Perhaps you have been gripped with mental illness and have been suffering and have no access to the help that you need. And your health insurance just doesn't cover it. And you want to be in community, but community often shuns you. Or being in community without proper support is just too difficult. Or you've been sick for a long time, and the suffering is unbearable, and all that you want is healing. Or perhaps you've been teased in school for being different because of how you dress, because of who you love, because of the friends that you have, and you're always picked last, and you feel invisible, and you've wondered, does anyone even care if I am here? And just then, you hear a voice, and the person calls you by your name, sees you, gives you something to eat, sets you free, forgives your past and holds no records, and says that you matter and are beloved, heals you and says that you are mine, says that you have a seat at the table, tells you that on today you are loved just as you are. Your authentic self tells you that on today you can live life more abundantly. That tells you that you can have rest for all these years of weariness because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That tells you you are invited to follow. How does that feel? How does that feel? That is the power of the gospel. When Jesus unrolled the scroll in the Luke passage, that is what he said. He said, I see you. I know what you've been through. I know your name. You matter. The heart of the message and all that we do is simply that God sees you and loves you, and Jesus is the answer to our deepest needs, and the church is the place where Jesus calls his followers to carry out his ministry. There is no one outside of God's love and grace. The good news is nothing more than Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So let us go out as instruments of hospitality that follows the stranger of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, that invites the stranger not as an insider, but as a stranger. Thanks be to God.